to sort of give us a roadmap to this jungle we call security and confidentiality, and really looking at two sides of the jungle, one side perhaps a swamp, the other side perhaps the jungle with vines and trees. And I'm kind of lucky in that I'm a programmatic cross-dresser, to use a really old, tired, worn phrase, in that some of my salary and my position and role in our health department is in HIV surveillance, and some of my role is in STD surveillance. So I equally had access to the infrastructures for data surveillance in both of those programs. But first I want to talk about how conceptually we began to think about a project to link HIV and STD databases to analyze comorbidity, which was really driven in the late 90s and early 2000s by anecdotal reports of increased syphilis among persons who had HIV. And you know, some providers were beginning to say that they had seen more gonorrhea in people with HIV. And we really thought this was kind of an important epidemiologic question that we wanted to address. And the only way to do that was across registries. Well, we had some guiding principles. And as Pat laid out, there's a real clear sort of understanding in our shop about the processes by which we get these kinds of things done. And the first thing for us to do was to go to our ORP, and I love that word, and Maria Corrigan, who is the ORP in Washington State, was delighted to actually sit down and discuss this, but we thought first there are some guiding principles in these kinds of activities in our health department. First and foremost, patient confidentiality is paramount. Our first ethical obligation as public health officials to our population is to protect their information. Secondly, the integrity of our surveillance data must be preserved at all costs. So that not only means the electronic and the sort of data security integrity of it, but also the perceptual integrity of the community, that we needed to do activities that couldn't be misconstrued in the community as breaches or a misuse of these data. And we had to think about some of the unintended consequences that might have occurred. Certain things such as disclosure of personal information or stigmatization was another one of the unintended consequences that we were concerned about, and that stakeholders should be consulted. And we actually have a pretty good infrastructure, as many states do, for HIV prevention community planning that provided a platform for us. We have a state-level group, and we also had a Board of Health that was very active in the late 90s and early 2000s as we moved into HIV named reporting. So there were additional community sensitivities to think about. Well, in our legal environment, we're very fortunate that our legislature and our Board of Health had the foresight when we initiated named-based reporting back in 1999, which at that point was a coded named-based reporting and has since moved to full name-based reporting. But we were given specific authority in our Washington Administrative Code to link public health databases when they served a public health purpose. And then I've highlighted the last bullet there, which also gives us the authority as public health officials to use individually identified records pursuant to investigations of conduct endangering public health. We didn't want to step into that minefield at all in our adventures linking HIV and STD databases for a couple of different ethical reasons. Well, what were the confidentiality issues that we identified right up front? Firstly, we might have prima facie biologic evidence of behaviors endangering public health. That's a confidentiality and an ethical issue that we needed to think about right up front. Negligent HIV exposure in Washington State might have some legal ramifications, the way our state legal codes are written. So we had to really be concerned with these issues. And our conclusion was is that because there are issues with MASH sensitivity and specificity, we don't do combined surveillance. So we don't have identifiable information across these registries in a single database anywhere. So matching introduces an element of uncertainty, and there are issues with missing matches, issues with falsely identifying people as matched across registries. And we really thought that precluded us from using these data for any individual action of any sort. Well, why should we care? We've talked a little bit about the anecdotal evidence we have of increasing syphilis and gonorrhea among persons with HIV. And mostly we were concerned with the epidemiologic questions. Do STIs increase susceptibility to HIV infection? And there's a great deal of evidence out there epidemiologically that there is a synergistic relationship between HIV and STI epidemics, in particular syphilis and gonorrhea, are of concern, but more lately, HSD infection and the up promotion of HIV transmission among persons who are infected with HSV becomes an issue. So there are clear reasons that we would want to look across databases to do some epidemiologic analysis. This is a very busy slide. I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. But really, what are the things we want to know? The typical epidemiologic questions that we want to ask are characteristics of persons, place, time, and time really includes these trends of co-infection over time, and disease. What are the specific sexually transmitted infections within the constriction of what it is we have as notifiable conditions are important in facilitating HIV transmission. Well, how did we combine our information? Given all of the concerns and the ethical considerations that we had discussed prior, we decided that we would do what we were calling an ephemeral, but we sort of migrated to the term of virtual integration, where no perseverant link between the systems would be maintained, and that the match would really be ephemeral, and that the linking data disappears once we have the value-added epidemiologic products that we were interested in. So the first thing we did was we took HIV patient records. Now, we didn't take everything in the HARS database. We're only concerned at this point with specific people, not with any characteristics of their morbidity. And the same was true across our STI case records. We really were just getting patient information. And we pulled patient information into a temporary file for matching. The matching sort of happens where those two arrows come together. I should have put a flashing light there because it's sort of magic. However, it's really not magic. We used elements of name, first and last name, and date of birth and gender to achieve our match across the two registries. Then we have a temporary file that has the state NO from the HARS registry and a patient number from our STD registry in it. Once we had that for our matching records, we created a data warehouse that then went out and took the information we were interested in terms of morbidity from HIV database and from the STI database using those unique identifiers from the two systems. In the step where we've constructed our data warehouse, we then strip out those identifying pieces of information like state NO and patient NO and names and created a unique identifier for each matched record. At that point, we pulled off a whole bunch of data sets and tables that could be used for analysis. And frankly, once we got to that point, we wiped all of these temporary data sets so that really all that's left to us are the value-added products of the epi analysis, the trends over time in co-infection, some of the characteristics, and data that might allow us to do some multivariate analysis later on to figure out what are the important characteristics of either persons with STIs or HIV epidemiologically. So the way we do that, basically, is those of you who are familiar with SAS know that SAS creates a temporary work directory. We actually established the path to that directory on our confidential servers. And in Washington State, we have a single network infrastructure for housing all confidential data. So our HIV and our STD data were all on the same confidential server, albeit different partitions on that server. But by putting that work directory in the confidential environment, when it disappears, it literally disappears. It's not accessible by any other application or any other persons. Well, what did we take from the two registries? Really, we took all of the identifying information from HARS, patient first and last name, date of birth, sex, gender, demographics, unique record IDs in our initial match. And then we wanted to look at risk, mode of exposure, diagnosis dates, some of the other things that are of epidemiologic interest, and for us, location, geographic units are of interest. And then also facility type, because we thought this information might help us better understand how to do HIV surveillance, but also where we might be seeing HIV-positive persons with STDs, which give us an opportunity for prevention. Well, the data are really organized by individual record, so that we were able to look at things like trends over time. And this chart, just, I'm not going to present a whole lot of data here, but really shows us the percent of persons who are being diagnosed with gonorrhea who are HIV positive. And we thought this was alarming because it represented a clear trend to us and something that we needed to be aware of. We're also able to do things like looking at the incidence of gonorrhea among certain persons with HIV, which also, again, tells us a little bit about the ongoing risk behaviors of our infected population, but also because we had other things like the facility of diagnosis might help us better target some of our STD prevention efforts. We also were able to do some multivariate analysis on the characteristics of persons with HIV who were most likely to be infected with STIs at some point subsequent to becoming HIV positive, which could then again help us to target prevention case management, which is not being called that now, but to better target those scarce resources so that we were really hitting the folks that we could make the most difference with in our population. And we also looked at some of the trends in gonorrhea infection among HIV positive males to help us better understand how this differs from our presumed HIV negative population and what implications that might have epidemiologically, either that people with HIV are more susceptible to gonorrheal infection or that infection with gonorrhea may promote HIV transmission at some point in the future. So the tools we used are those that you should have in your shops. Epidemiologists should be familiar with them, SAS, and staff capacity. And I want to address this a little bit more than just people who know what they're doing. There's also organizational capacity. Because of where I sit within my unit, it was possible for me to access both of these data sets within the confidentiality guidelines of both HIV and STDs. Well, there are match quality concerns. We don't want to talk a lot about those. But those are the concerns that preclude us from ever wanting to use this kind of a match for individual action. We would want to develop other guidances, and we're waiting for the PCRS guidelines to come out to help us guide how we might do that. This match is probably not how we will do it. Well, just like this young fella here who is anticipating a brand new project, sometimes it's a little frightening to think about where you might end up when you begin some of these adventures. But then the counterpoint to that is that, you know, unless we have the audacity to do this, and I would urge those of you in STD surveillance programs, as well as those of you who work in an HIV context, to have that audacity. Let's begin to look at these data in a much more sophisticated way, because really the public health imperative is still there. HIV is a continuing and growing epidemic, and the trends in STIs are not promising, as we've heard throughout this conference. So we need to apply this as frequently and as sophisticated as way possible to get the job done. So a few acknowledgments. Certainly the OASIS work group, that was the purview under which we first did this work, and then some other miscellaneous folks. Whoops. And I had a whole bunch of other slides, but let's not go there. Thank you. Any questions?